are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On the show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 to 20 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. Coming up on today's show, we're going to continue to answer some of the questions that you posed on Twitter. We had a lot of really great questions, and I didn't want to try to squeeze them all in yesterday, so we're just going to do that again today after doing it yesterday as well. Before we get into it, a little bit about me. I've been a contributor for the baseball analysis sites Beyond the Box Score and FanGraphs as a Rotographs contributor. I started a Giants podcast called CoveCast in 2015 and then joined the Locked On Podcast Network prior to the 2019 season. I'm also a lifelong diehard Giants fan. So questions and answers are coming up next, but first I want to talk about our good friends over at Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. And they're great for a health conscious person like me. I honestly, frankly, would not be eating a protein bar that was really high in sugar. And that's what's so amazing about Built Bar is that they've got 18 amazing flavors. They're all delicious. And all of them fit into my strict dietary regimen. Built Bar has released for a limited time a strawberry bar that's seriously so good that they're selling for breast cancer research. You can get 12% off your order through October 12th. They've partnered with Breast Cancer Angels, Huntsman Cancer Institute, and Living Beyond Breast Cancer. They will match your donation to the organizations listed above. They'll match your donation to the organizations listed above up to $50 per order. Plus, 100% of the proceeds from the Built Bar Breast Cancer Awareness Hoodie will go to these organizations to help support breast cancer patients and their families. The Breast Cancer Awareness Hoodie sells for $19.95. Go to BuiltBar.com, find out what it's all about, and don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. All right, with that said, let's just jump right into the questions. Cobert Gobert asks, in a normal year, a player like George Springer might command 4 to 5 years, upwards of $100 million. How do you think the pandemic will affect contract expectations for these free agents? And do you think the Giants are in a position to take advantage of that? So this is the question of the hour, and it's going to be fascinating to see how this all plays out. There's no doubt that the pandemic is going to have an effect on player salaries. And I think we're going to see a lot of non-tenders, a lot of guys who were in line to make a certain amount of money through the arbitration process. And teams are just going to say, we don't want to pay that. You know, players need to be making less money than they were this year, not more. So I think that'll lead to non-tenders. But in the case of free agents, that's where it's going to get really interesting. And from what I've heard from industry insiders, is that they think that the middle class of the league is going to suffer the most, kind of like in the real world. But the players at the top, the George Springers of the world, will still likely, in my opinion, command the same type of salaries and years that they would otherwise have commanded. And case in point was the Dodgers agreeing to a 13-year extension with Mookie Betts prior to the season, but it was when baseball was shut down. And so the Dodgers were well aware of the economic climate looking ahead. But a special generational talent like Mookie Betts, they did not mess around. They signed him to a market value type deal, market value prior to COVID-19. So I think George Springer, looking at his numbers, I mean, I hadn't looked in a while, but he's a phenomenal player. And he's doing it again in the postseason, even though you kind of root against the Astros, given all the, you know, the cheating and all that. It's hard to deny what they've done, and specifically him. I mean, there are others, but he's in line for, I believe, 4 to 5 years upwards of $100 million for sure. So to me, he doesn't strike me as like that's the guy the Giants are going to go after and spend all their money on. I think next year, you're looking at just a tremendous free agent class, tremendous shortstop class where the Giants will have Brandon Crawford's contract expiring. And so what I do think is that that middle class, like I'm saying, there could be bargains to be had in that realm. I don't know who exactly that will be, but you know, we talked yesterday about D.D. Gregorius and Tommy La Stella. There are others as well. There's a lot of free agents, not that many good ones. Honestly, it's kind of a weak class, but I do believe the Giants will be kind of uniquely positioned to take advantage of whatever unfolds if it's a situation where other teams aren't as willing to spend money. Because I think the Giants, more than almost any other team, are absolutely willing to spend if it's going to help expedite their process of getting back to being extremely competitive in the National League. Ricky asks, what's your dream offseason for the Giants? What kind of moves or lack thereof would they have to make for you to feel like they've kept on track to make the postseason next year given their current trajectory? What potential moves could hold them back? So it's a tough question. I would have to really sit down and like study each and every free agent, minor league free agent. There's going to be, like I said, the non-tenders that I think we'll see around the league. Are all those players just become free agents, and they're guys who were not going to be free agents but will become free agents. So we have to wait and see who those players are. But the way I see it, and I've been wrong before, like going into each of the last two off seasons, I've kind of had a certain vision. Like last year, I really thought Nick Castellanos made a lot of sense and they would try to sign him. I thought Puig made sense and they would try to sign him. They didn't do any of that, and yet they still had a really good year and exceeded expectations. I wasn't necessarily talking about Kevin Gausman and Drew Smyly before they were signed. And then when they signed them and I looked closer into their numbers, I'm like, yeah, I understand that these guys have the upside that the Giants would want there. And sure enough, both those players reached that upside. So I'm hesitant to say that they're going to do something drastic this offseason because they haven't done it yet. But just looking over the free agent market, I don't see like the solution to the Giants' problems just being in the free agent market. On the pitching side, I do think they're going to have to sign some pitchers. And so I would like to see them bring back Kevin Gausman and Drew Smyly because both players have expressed a desire to return. And so I think when you have mutual interest like that, you could probably get a relatively bargain type deal done. And so if the Giants could have those guys on nice team friendly type contracts, that would just be really stabilizing because then you can just, you've got them locked in. And the Giants need that stability because even with Gausman and Smyly, they kind of had an up and down rotation with Cueto and Webb and like Cahill providing moments where they were good and moments where they were not so good. So Gausman and Smyly, I think, will be priorities. I don't necessarily see that much upside in the starting pitcher free agent market. A lot of older players. I think there's only one player in his 20s, and that's Taijuan Walker. Robbie Ray, actually, also in his 20s. He has upside too, but man, he also has a downside. But I don't know. At some point, maybe a trade. Like, at some point, I'd like to see them make a creative trade that is really going to make a difference for their franchise. And it's hard to say, like, they haven't done that because they have done it in trades that at the time, we didn't know that they were going to turn out to be so impactful, like the trade for Mike Yastrzemski. None of us were sitting there saying, yes, that's the answer. They just traded for a great player who's going to help transform their organization. But that's actually what transpired. So, you know, it's hard for us to sit here and judge those types of moves and me to say that's what they need to do because we didn't know that's what was going to happen. And Alex Dickerson was a similar case. And Donovan Solano and Darren Ruff were minor league signings. But at some point, I think they're going to have to make a bigger, more significant move, whether that's a trade or signing a big name free agent. I don't think this is the year to sign a big name free agent. I just don't think that perfect fit exists in free agency. Mookie Betts would have been an exception. I would have been all over the possibility of them trying to sign Mookie Betts. But that's just not going to happen. He's going to be with the Dodgers for the next 12 years. So I don't know. But I guess the only thing I'll say is I do think they're going to need to sign some starting pitching. And lastly, as I said yesterday, I think they need a left-handed hitter to possibly platoon with Evan Longoria and or move around the diamond, specifically second base. So I do think Gregorius and La Stella kind of fit that mold. But just to be a little bit more specific in closing, I think, you know, the idea of trading one of their better prospects at some point shouldn't be off the table if it's maybe a need-for-need trade. Like, maybe the Giants don't need Joey Bart because they have Patrick Bailey, who they maybe feel more comfortable about long-term because of his plate discipline. They have Buster Posey already. Joey Bart wasn't especially good last year, so I'm not sure he's in the plans to make a big impact next year necessarily. So maybe you trade a Joey Bart in a need-for-need trade for like a young, controllable starting pitcher to a team that desperately needs catching. I don't know. Just a thought as to something dramatic that would be fun and could be on the table. All right, coming up in the second half of the show, more Giants mailbag questions. When you need red wine at 4 p.m., sushi at 9 p.m., a breakfast burrito at 8 a.m., and ibuprofen at 10 a.m., Postmate it. Postmates is your personal food delivery, grocery delivery, whatever kind of delivery service all year round. Anything you're craving, Postmates can deliver. They're the largest on-demand network in the U.S. and offer delivery from all the restaurants, grocery and convenience stores, and traditional retailers you could possibly want or need. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Postmates will bring you what you need within the hour. No more trips to the store. You don't even have to know where the store is. Postmates will deliver anything to you. Download the app for iOS or Android for free. Browse local restaurants and businesses and track your delivery in real time. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. Download Postmates and save with code LOCKEDON. All right, as promised here in the second half of the show, just going to keep running through your questions from Twitter. Another question from Cobert Gobert, who asks, what do you think of the KBO's Ha-Sung Kim? Haven't done research yet on my end. I think this just came out today, and it's a link to an article that specifies that his team, the Heroes, is going to post him this offseason, meaning he's going to be available to sign by major league teams. And I hadn't honestly even heard of this guy. Like, the people who are like totally aware of Major League Baseball and aware of the KBO and aware of all that's going on in the minor league systems, I tip my hat to those people. Like, my main area of expertise has always been Major League Baseball. And so it's been a learning process over the last 5 years or so, like more and more trying to get a grasp on everything that's going on in the minor leagues, other teams, minor league systems. But then you start throwing out international players. And I mean, I had never heard of this guy before yesterday when I saw these articles as well. But reading about him and reading the descriptions of who he is, how he would potentially fare in the major leagues, my interest level, and if you're the Giants, they've obviously been in on this guy a lot longer than I have, and they're aware of what's going on here. But what's going on here is that this is a 25-year-old right-handed hitting shortstop who is just an absolute stud in the KBO. And so what's so impressive is that in the last 2 years, he's just really taken a step forward. And in the KBO, he's been 40% above average each of the last 2 years. A stud. I mean, I don't know exactly how these numbers translate to the major leagues, but He's just become an absolute stud looking at the numbers. He walks more than he strikes out, hits for power, and this year he stole 21 bases and was caught zero times. Last year, 33 bases, was caught four times. So he's a tremendous base dealer who has power, who doesn't strike out, who walks, hits for average, gets on base, and is a good shortstop. And so, and is 25 years old. So this is like, I'm drooling at this profile. And so I think the Giants should be all over this guy. I'm not saying he's going to come over and be a superstar, but from what I've read, he would become a top 100 prospect, certainly, and definitely the type of guy the Giants should and will have interest in. They do have Brandon Crawford at shortstop, so if they sign Kim, I'm not exactly sure what the plan would be. The Giants do kind of lean towards more needing a left-handed hitter as opposed to a right-handed hitter. But at the same time, this seems like the type of chance that doesn't come around every day. And so I think the Giants will be all over this guy. And we'll see what happens. Pac Bell Partisan asks, what should Giants fans expect on an organizational level about how the front office is going to approach the winter meetings? Is there value in making roster moves in the offseason outside of signing free agents? So I think Giants fans should expect, as I've said earlier in the show, not the big splashy moves from the Giants. But hopefully at this point, seeing how Kevin Gausman did, Drew Smyly, Wilmer Flores, even like Donovan Solano, the trade for Mike Yastrzemski, the signing of Darren Ruff out of the KBO, I think the little moves that they do make, because if anything, they've not been inactive. They've been active. It's just not necessarily been big splashy moves. But hopefully, I think by this point, Giants fans will look for the positive in those moves and look for what is it about this player that, what is the upside that this player brings? And another type of thing that we could see this offseason, I mentioned it earlier, I alluded to it earlier, is the Giants flexing their financial muscles to take advantage of certain situations. Like, there could be the potential that some teams want to shed money. So maybe a player, a good player, under a certain contract becomes expendable to that team because they just want to be relieved of some salary. And could the Giants take advantage of that? And we did see something like that last offseason where the Angels owner, presumably, wanted the team to shed some money before they went out and signed a player like Anthony Rendon. And so the Giants were the only team willing, according to the Angels general manager. Or he said he was surprised more teams didn't jump at the opportunity to take on Zach Cozart, who was a sunk cost and not someone the Giants were actually really interested in. They took on his one-year salary, and in exchange, they got the Angels to attach their first-round draft pick from that season, the 15th or 14th overall pick, Will Wilson. And so if the Giants did something like that last year, could we see more of that type of move this year, and perhaps even to a greater extent? And they're better positioned than most to do that type of thing. And so if we see that type of move, first of all, that move was not portrayed correctly in the media by at least MLB Network. I remember watching the winter meetings, and they thought the trade was all about Zach Cozart. They're like, oh, the Giants traded for Zach Cozart. And the response was that, why does this team need another, you know, 34-year-old player who's past his prime? And then there was a lot of fan responses like, typical Giants, you know, aging player, doesn't make all the sense. But in reality, that trade was 100% about the prospect the Giants got attached to Zach Cozart. So I hope that what fans should expect is for the Giants to make smart moves. And I hope before we jump to like angry conclusions and say, oh, I didn't like that this player had a bad ERA last season, what the heck are they thinking? There's going to be more to the story than that. And so I hope, you know, we'll cover those moves and all the nuance that comes along with them. But it's going to be a fascinating offseason, and I wouldn't be surprised if they make that type of move at some point. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Remember, to get this show every weekday, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Thank you so much to everyone who submitted questions. We'll definitely continue to do this on a weekly basis. If you enjoyed the show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. Whatever you can do is very much appreciated. Thanks so much for listening, and until then, we'll see you next time.